Just want to give you a little word before we go tonight, and it is in 2 Corinthians 5:14, my favorite passage of scripture. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And then Luke 12:48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And then one verse from Isaiah 22 simply says this. It says, the burden of the valley of vision. And then it asks, what aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? And I just want to minister to you on this wise just for a few minutes tonight, and then we'll go and have a good time fellowshipping and enjoying the holiday. Bound by liberty. Bound by liberty. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would help me to minister your word, that you would help me to touch your people tonight, Lord. I ask you to strengthen us by your word, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us to be everything that you have called us to be tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, put your hands together before you're seated tonight. Let's worship the Lord for his word. Amen. God is so good. God bless you. You may be seated. Bound by liberty. Those things don't seem to go together, but in a spiritual sense as well as in a practical sense. In a practical sense, we live in a nation that is blessed by liberty. Now, it is not a perfect nation by any means and has not ever really been a perfect nation. However, I do believe that God put his hand on this nation for a reason. And I believe the blessings that we enjoy today is because God has allowed those blessings to come on us. And because of that, we are the greatest missionary supporting nation. We send missionaries all around the world, not only in a spiritual missionary sense, but also humanitarian support. And I believe that that is what we should do. And as the church, of course, we love missions, and we give to missions, and we support missions. And I believe God has blessed us because we do that, and he has blessed us so that we would do that. And so the more we give of ourselves, the more blessings God gives us, because a conduit is never empty. A conduit is never empty. If a conduit is hooked up to a source, then no matter how much it gives out, that conduit is always full. And so the principle is, if we will give of ourselves, then we will never be in want our own self, because the more you give, the more God supplies. And when you give of yourself and your time, your treasure, and your talent, then you never lose anything. You're always full. Amen. Now, if we hold on to things, we become stagnant. In fact, the Bible says when we save our life, we actually lose our life. And so the things that we give into the hands of God, then he takes them and multiplies them. And so what I'm getting at tonight is, I believe as a nation, I believe as a church, I believe as a people, we have a responsibility to the blessings that we have been given, to the liberty that has been placed in our life. The first scripture I read tonight, and I mentioned it's one of my favorite ones in Scripture, and it is my favorite passage of Scripture, and that is verse 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It It ties us. The reason it does is because we understand, we judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If he gave his life for me, then I was supposed to be dead anyway. And then verse 15, it says, in that he died for all, that they which live, that's you and I, those of us that continue to live, now we henceforth live no more for ourselves, but now we live under the one that died for us. And so we're bound by that liberty. He set us free from the law of sin and death by his sacrifice. But that sacrifice that set us free also binds me to a loyalty that is purchased by his love. Now, we live in a world that doesn't really understand, and many times, the concept of loyalty. But you have the old children's tale about the lion with a thorn in its paw, right? And the little mouse comes by, and it's their adversaries. That's one is the prey, and one is the predator. But he removes the thorn and makes a friend. And that loyalty is binding them together. And we live in a world that doesn't recognize that. And so many times, the people that you give the most to and you love the most and you counsel the most and you minister to the most, they're the ones that are quickest to leave. They're the ones that are quickest to hurt you. That's just the way it is. But in the church, we should not allow that, because we are bound by loyalty, not only to one another, but we are bound by loyalty to Christ. We are bound by his sacrifice. We are constrained by his love. Because he loved me, then therefore I must love him. Because he gave himself for me, then therefore I give myself to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then notice what it says. It is your reasonable service. What he means by that is, because he did all that, then you should give yourself. You should present yourself. It is just a natural response. Amen. If somebody gives their life for you, then it is a natural response to be loyal to that person, to that cause. If someone ministers to you in your darkest hour, then when something comes up, you give them the benefit of the doubt. You are there for them. And so because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we are bound to him by love. We are a slave to his freedom that he has given us. We are now bound to the liberty that we have in our life. And because of that, now we have a responsibility. And we have been given the keys to the prison doors. He swung open the prison for us, right? He set us free from the law of sin and death, and he's given us the keys. And the keys are for those other ones that are still bound, that are still struggling with sin, that are still struggling with addiction. And it's our responsibility to go out and to carry that. We don't just carry our own liberty and so we just celebrate, oh, I'm free, I get to be free. No, there is a burden that comes with that. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to him to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so because we have been redeemed, because we have been healed, because we have been set free, because we have been washed in the waters of baptism, our sin has been removed, because he has filled us with this treasure of his Spirit when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because of that, then that compels me to love others, to minister to others. Because he forgave me, then I must forgive. Because he gave me salvation, then I must preach that gospel of salvation to others. Now, Isaiah 22:1, I've taught about this scripture before, but it always stood out to me that this phrase, the burden of the valley of vision. What was the prophet trying to communicate here? He was recognizing that that there was a burden that came with being God's chosen people. Because who was he talking to? He was talking to the people of Jerusalem. He was talking to Israel. And he was letting them know that there is a burden that comes with being a child of God, being chosen, being delivered from Egypt, being brought across into a promised land and given a land that flows with milk and honey, that there was a burden for that. And then he asked the question, what's wrong with you now, is what he said. So what aileth thee? What's wrong with you? Why was he asking what was wrong with them? Because now they had gone up to the housetops. What does that mean? In that vernacular, that means they had gone up to the place where they would rest. Why did they go to the housetop? They went to the housetop because that's the only place they could get a breeze inside Jerusalem, because there was walls and because everything was very closely built together. And in the streets, it was stifling in the heat. So they would go up to the housetop to rest. And so he was telling them, hey, there is a burden that comes with being a part of the valley of vision. But yet, instead of carrying the burden, instead of doing something about it, instead of ministering to others, instead of opening the gate to others, you're resting on the housetop. He was rebuking them in a very poetic fashion. The burden of the valley of vision. What was the burden? The burden was, hey, you've been given freedom. You've been given blessing. You've been given anointing. And now you're doing nothing with it. You're just sitting on the housetop. You're just taking it easy. What's wrong with you? Is what he said. What's wrong? What's ailing you now? And so here in this day and age, we are the valley of vision. Because God has so powerfully revealed to us the Word of God, because he has opened our eyes in a spiritual sense that we might see the Scripture and the words that he has given us, that he has given us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, that we could be free. And this vision that he has given us, this powerful anointing that he has placed in our life, then it is something that we should not take lightly. It is something that we should not keep to ourselves. No man lights a candle and hides it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick that it may give light to the whole house. We are a city set on a hill. We are that valley of vision. We are those that have had the powerful gospel revealed to our minds and our hearts tonight. We have been given the keys to unlock those that are in the prison of sin and addiction and perversion and all the terrible things of this world. But yet so many times we have gone up to the housetop in a spiritual sense and we have found a place of comfort. And we go into our world like this. We go into our jobs like this. We go into the stores and the restaurants and our neighborhood and our family. And we feel the burden of people, but yet we stay silent. And sometimes we stay silent because we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we stay silent because we're fearful. Sometimes we stay silent because I'm not sure we really believe. But there is a burden of the valley of vision. It's an understanding that there is a responsibility, that we are bound by the love that he has given us. We're bound by the cross that he died on. And here we are. We are the modern day Christian, and we cannot stay silent anymore. We have got to love more. We have got to give more. We have got to reach out more. We have got to get out of our comfort zone. Amen. We've got to take the tools that the church has given us, just different things. You know, we've got a website, we've got social media, we've got all kinds of ways for people to find us. But if you will use those tools to witness, to invite, amen, bake cookies in his name, take them across the street, around the corner, next door. You see somebody in need, go help them. Amen. Do something, reach out, carry cards with you. We've got all kinds of cards that look good, that tell all the information that is pleasing to the eye. You can reach, you don't have to be embarrassed of anything that you pass out around here. It's going to look good. It's going to have all the information that they need. You need to use those things because we are blessed. And to whom much is given, much is required. We need to be a church that is willing to pray, willing to witness, willing to love, willing to serve, willing to go beyond the first mile into the second mile. Amen. God is calling us as a church. We're bound by liberty. Those things that we have, we are now bound by all the blessings that we have, the messages that we have the privilege to hear every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every class that we have the ability to sit in, every worship song, every song that is sung and played, every ministry that we have here. We have a burden because God has given those things, not just for us, but so that we could deliver those to others. It's no time for us to grow comfortable and complacent. We must come off of our spiritual housetops, and we must take up the burden of reaching the lost. This place is ministry to the body, yes. But ministry to the body is not our primary activity. As I have read to you before, and I'm not going to read it tonight because it's long. The soul saving station. That is what we are. We're a lighthouse. We are a rescue mission. Amen. But the story I read to you about the soul saving station, everybody enjoyed the process for a while, and so it started gathering more people. And then they got tired of their little rundown shack they were working out of, and they began to fix it up a little bit. Shockingly enough, they began to remodel for the men. There's nothing wrong with remodeling as long as we remember what our mission is. I mean, we want to have a beautiful foyer. We want to have a beautiful sanctuary. We want to have a beautiful place to fellowship. All that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't forget. In the process of time, the soul-saving station grew and grew and grew and improved and improved and improved. And before long, a committee got together and decided that all the refugees that they were bringing in off of the sea were too dirty, too much work, made them uncomfortable. And so they closed it down. And so it became a social club. I don't want to ever become a social club. Amen. I love you, and I love fellowshipping with you, and I love being with you before and after service and at fellowship. Our picnic Sunday was so much fun. I enjoy that, and we should have that. We need to do that. There's nothing wrong. There's strength in fellowship, right? They continue steadfastly. And one of the things they continued in was fellowship. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not the primary. The primary is doctrine. The primary is how to be saved. The primary is reaching souls. Amen. They added to the church daily. Daily. God added to the church daily. Why? Because they were going out and they were telling people. They were turning their world upside down. When Jason and the other disciples came to the city, they said, "Oh, those that turn their world upside down are here." Oh, let it be said about us. Let us turn our world upside down. Why? Because we've been given so much. We have this beautiful setting. Amen. This property that we have been given, the vision of Bishop and Sister McGahee and this church over the years, over the 40-year history of our church, to purchase the first piece of property. And that's basically what our building sits on right now. Everything that's under concrete is basically the first piece of property that was purchased for $15,000. Man, wouldn't you love to buy this for $15,000? And then some years later, they had the vision of buying that field out there for $75,000. And so total right here in the middle of the Metroplex, with out in front of us some of the places, there are 14 lanes passing us. Can you believe that? God has positioned us in a place at the right time. He has given us this beautiful building, this beautiful piece of property, this beautiful city to be a part of, this beautiful location. Oh, everything that you could ever dream of. It's Pentecostal heaven. There are 5,000 restaurants. Come on now. The only problem we have is figuring out where to eat. Come on now. With a 5-mile radius, you could eat at a different restaurant 3 times a day, every day of the year, and never get the same one twice. There you go. Praise God. We're blessed. We have everything that we need, except we just need to pick up the burden. Amen. Joel 2:17 says, "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" I don't know about you, but I worry about people that come to church that have no passion. Amen. Brother AJ called me relentless. Now, he meant it as a compliment, I think. That's the way I took it. Relentless. Somebody else said that, "Whoo, you sure preach with a lot of zeal." I'm like, well, thank God. Praise God. How else you want to preach? I mean, the increase of his government, I preached about that on Sunday. He said the zeal of the Lord will perform that. Amen. I worry about people with no passion for prayer, no passion for praise, and no passion for people. I worry about a church that is not passionate about the things of God, somebody that can't get excited about what God is doing or what God can do. Amen. I worry about people that don't feel strongly about the Word. They passively come to the house of God. They're not passionate about worship or truth. They almost live apologetically. Right? They keep their mouth shut. They just do their thing. But I'm telling you, every one of us has a burden. Every young person, every child, we have a burden. We have a purpose. Amen. We have got to understand that God is moving in us. Amen. Revelation 1:5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." He has made us so much. He's given us so much. Romans 13:11, in closing tonight. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're bound by the liberty. We're constrained by the love. We have a responsibility to the revelation that God has given us. I love Apostle Paul. He's really one of my favorite characters in the New Testament. God transformed him. But when he was Saul, he had a passion for what he thought was the truth. And God saw that passion. He thought, if I can just turn that around and I can use it for me, then the potential is unlimited. Amen. And he found him on the road to Damascus and blinded him physically, but he opened his eyes spiritually. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus." And then he writes to the book, in the book of Ephesians, to the church of Ephesus in chapter 3 and verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Notice what he called himself. He said, "I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ." Wow. You've been set free, Paul. You've been redeemed. You were a murderer, but now you're innocent in the eyes of God. You had blood on your hands, but now you have blood on your heart. It's washed you clean. But he said, "No. I was set free from one thing, but now I'm made a prisoner to another." Amen. God gave him a vision of the heavens. He said, "They were so beautiful, so great, so amazing. I can't even tell you. Words would not suffice." What did he do that for? Because he knew Paul was going to have to suffer a lot of stuff. He's going to have to go to real prison. He was really a prisoner. He was really beaten. He was really stoned. He was really shipwrecked. He was really cast out by his brethren. He was really persecuted. And he even said, "If I had hope in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable." Why? Because he chose to be a prisoner to the things that God had given him. We have a burden tonight. And on this Independence Day, can we declare dependence to him? He set us free. Yes, we have liberty. Yes. But before we leave this place tonight, can we declare, "I am yours. I'm a prisoner." Can we stand? "I'm a prisoner. You've given me so much, I can't keep silent. You've loved me so much, I can't keep my love back from others. You've taught me, you've revealed to me so much, I can't hold it to myself." Oh, can we just lift our hands and let's surrender to him tonight? Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we are bound. We are bound to you, Lord. We are bound to you. Lord, let us present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's the least we could do. It's the least we could do. Oh, God, touch us tonight. Touch us tonight. We surrender to you, Lord. We offer ourselves to you. We give our mouth to you. We give our heart to you.